Welcome to Embers of the Bonfire. This is your host, Harbin Najjar. And today's guest is someone who inspires others to feel their best physically and mentally. She is a mom, a content creator, and a certified fitness instructor. Ronak Al-Ghaythi, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. That was such a nice intro. It's nice when you hear all of your titles coined together like that.
Thank you for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Today's topic is your body is a temple. What does that mean to you?
That's a deep one. I remember when you said it to me first that that was going to be our topic. My initial reaction was, okay, yes, you're supposed to be taking care of your body. It's your temple. It's your home. And it's the only home that you have that is going to stay constant throughout your life. Right? You can move house. You can move to a different country. But your body is going with you. So that's what I think. I think it's a big responsibility to keep it functioning. Let's say it that way. Functioning and happy.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah.
So what do you mean by functioning? Let's start off with that.
When we think about what we are as human beings, you know, we're made to move. We're made to be physical. We have two legs to help us move. We have arms to help us carry things. That's what I mean by functional. Our day-to-day life is quite strenuous. No matter what you do in life, you could work a desk job and that's still strenuous. You have to be able to sit and stand. That's a squat at the end of the day. Yeah, so I see it that way. You need to function. You need to be a part of society and function with your body.
I like that you used home. Like, I've heard that before, but now hearing it makes you appreciate it even more in terms of how important it is to really treat your body, you know, with the best care possible.
Yeah.
So to see it that way. You said happy. What does that mean, keeping your body happy?
You can see it in a multitude of ways, but I think a happy body is a healthy body in terms of getting enough sleep, functioning throughout your day. You know, I'm talking about your skin being healthy and moisturized and not having issues with that. Talking about your gut and how your tummy feels after you eat. All of these things kind of resonate with happy body.
If you could tell us some pillars of, for example, the basics, and then we can kind of go through those pillars together of keeping your body functioning and happy. What would those pillars be for you?
I would say sleep and rest is a pillar.
So how many hours is enough?
as a mom of one, a little tiny toddler who has never been a good sleeper.
I resonate with that. It's our first, isn't
it? It is a rough time as a parent. Ideally, I think most people would thrive off of 7 to 9 hours of consecutive sleep because that's when rest and recovery is happening, right? When you have a long stretch of sleep, which unfortunately, depending on your life circumstances, new parents, it's not realistic to hope for that. But I think getting 3 hour bursts at a time is a nice one.
Yeah. I feel biologically our bodies just adapt, right, to waking up in the middle of the night and being able to help serve our kids.
Yeah, it's a survival instinct. We were made to become parents. We were made to procreate and bring life and take care of that life. So It is, you adapt.
And you said rest. What do you mean by rest?
So sleep and rest are very different. Hmm. Sleep is sleeping and rest is allowing yourself to be still. Yes, be still. And I need to work on that, to be honest.
I love being still. I love the idea of it and experiencing it, but that's very important.
I think rest is mostly maybe a mental thing, allowing yourself to just be. And some people rest with doing things, which could be, you know, mindfulness, meditation, breathing exercises, yoga, all of these things would be considered rest. But for a lot of people, I think just being still, going to the beach and being still, whatever it is that you need to do, can allow you kind of to reset and rest because we're always on the go.
I'd love to dive deeper into that, and we'll dive deeper into that later on in terms of the mind.
Yeah.
But going back to the body, you were saying gut function as well. So what does that mean to someone who doesn't necessarily know much about that?
You don't need to really know much about it, to be honest. It's more of a, how do you feel? How do you feel after you're consuming food? gut health is this big buzzword on social media right now. Everyone's talking about, I eat this because it's good for my gut, or I'm having probiotics and prebiotics and all these things and buzzwords. And it's really not, it doesn't need to be that complicated, because supplementing with something just for the sake of it, if you don't have anything that's triggering you to supplement with that. Let's say my husband is lactose intolerant and he takes lactase enzymes right before he consumes anything with lactose. I could say, oh, it's good for your gut. I'm going to take lactase enzymes too, which is very unnecessary. And for a lot of people, they're just consuming things because it's being pushed down our throats. I like to tell people to really tune into how they feel after they consume different food groups. For a lot of us, dairy can be a big trigger. A lot of us probably don't consume enough fermented foods, things that are good to bring back that good bacteria into your gut. But again, unnecessary if you're feeling totally fine after your food. Don't have to think about it.
As you said, it's buzzwords and it's like a new movement of healthy foods and all these specifics. But people in, for example, the Outer Banks and the countryside just don't have that concept. And they're just eating what they've been eating for hundreds of years.
Exactly.
So, and they're happy and healthy and, you know, in their own way.
Yes, and functioning. You hear a lot of people who just say, yes, I'm just bloated all the time. That's just me. Or I have acne. It's just because I have acne. It's not triggered to anything. But I do think people should explore kind of looking into their diet when their body is giving them cues like, hey, help me. I'm bloated. Something's going on. So I do think your body will speak back to you in terms of what you need to be prioritizing.
So how do you listen to your body?
That is a good one. Checking in with yourself. I think we all know our own baselines of how we feel our best. For instance, I know that I thrive off of at least 2 hour stretches of sleep. At least. And, you know, when I have a teething baby and she's waking me up every half an hour, every 45 minutes, the next day my body is silently screaming to myself, telling me to slow down. I will literally be trying to have a conversation with something or with someone and I will blank out, completely zone out, staring into space, cannot function as a human being. I think that's my body's way of crying out for help, saying, hey, take a step back, find a moment in your day today, an hour, 2 hours, take a little nap. No, that's all you need, a little nap. That's just one example, you know, of listening and tuning into your body. Your body will scream at you and it will say, help me. It will.
One example is like the short fuse for me is everything is just so intense, you know, when I am not running on 8 hours of sleep and everything just seems a bit, you know, a bit more intense. My emotional reactions are a bit more reactive. And so 7 to 9 hours is ideal. But obviously, if you're a parent, as much as you can, when you can. What other pillar is treating your body like a home? Talked about a bit of food and a bit of rest and sleep.
And recovery. Yeah. Definitely movement. I don't like to call it exercise and I don't like to call it training. I like to call it movement.
That sounds lighter.
Right?
Sounds a lot lighter.
And less intimidating, maybe.
Yeah, that really does.
Because going back when I said we're humans, we're meant to move. We were meant to be active. Movement is going to look very different for everyone based on a lot of factors, based on their age, based on their current health status, based on where they live, based on, you know, social economic backgrounds as well. People kind of forget, if I'm living paycheck to paycheck, I'm not going to go and book a paddle court and go and play paddle. It's just not realistic. Movement. I like to call it movement because it can look very different for everyone.
What is movement to you?
Anything that triggers a response in the body to say, hey, we're going to work out our heart a little bit. We're going to trigger some heart rate impact. And in turn, that turns to heart health. That's what we want. We want a healthy heart at the end of the day. All the muscles, all the aesthetic looks, that comes later. That comes with consistency and doing all those things. But your big trigger should be trying to take care of your heart.
Why your heart? Why is that primary?
Oh man, if your heart stops, you know what happens. You know what happens. It's a trigger for so many health markers. a healthy, functioning heart can take you a long way.
The thing is, it doesn't show. You know how, like you were saying, the aesthetics. And that's why people go to work out, is to look good and show their muscles or whatnot. But the heart doesn't necessarily show, so that people do focus on it.
Like you said, we can't see it unless you're going to a doctor and getting all these tests done. Realistically, you're not going to know if you have a healthy, functioning heart until it's too late. Until maybe you're at the point where you're in your 40s, you have a heart attack, you have a stroke, something goes wrong, you have high blood pressure, and then you're working double time to try and rectify and stabilize. So I think when we talk about movement, we need to, or what I like to tell my clients sometimes is, we're trying to prioritize strength and health and function. And I promise you, with consistency on focusing with that, the aesthetics will follow. Because we're humans and we want to look good and we're vain and just it is what it is. So I think shifting the mindset to be less about, I want to lose X amount of kilos, I want to look like how I looked in college, and shifting it is going to help you get to your 40s and your 50s and your 60s and, you know, your 70s and still be thriving. I come from a generation where my grandparents were bedridden for the last 10 years of their lives. And I think back to their younger years, they were hustlers. Their entire lives were just about hustle, 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 and trying to get by and lay down a good foundation for their families and the next generation. But I just wish they had the insight to prioritize their health as well. That's a nice thing to think about as well.
The why, you're talking about the why. Your why is different. It's not about, as you said, the aesthetics and whatnot. And that will come, but it's about the living long, you know, living long, living healthy, living a happy, healthy life in your 70s, 80s, and 90s. And that motivation is so much more powerful than having so-and-so the body you want for, you know, a short, brief amount of time.
That's how I talk to a lot of my clients. We're parents. We're both parents, you and I. Wouldn't you want to be the grandparent who's running after your grandkids, who can, you know, still toss them around and still build amazing memories and kind of relive your current kids' childhood through seeing their kids? I really want that for myself. And I think most people would say they want that for themselves as well.
Which apparently is like another layer and level to love, which is being a grandparent, which I heard from, you know, my mom and my mother-in-law. When having grandkids is like just such a burst of love again, which we won't know until we do,
Of course.
But yeah, I'd love that. That's more sustainable to have that why, in terms of that's why I'm exercising, that's why I'm eating healthy, that's why I'm resting, is the long-term delayed gratification of this is why I'm putting in the work is, or not work, but the movement in and the healthy eating in, or feeling good when I eat and resting and, for those moments, as you said, creating those memories and being there with the family. Yeah.
I just wanted to add another thing about movement is to find something you truly enjoy that can slot into, you know, the category of movement, because there's just such a variety of things you can do, and you don't have to be the person who gets in the gym and does bicep curls and squats. You don't have to do that. And for a lot of people, they don't thrive in that environment. And if you're not thriving and enjoying it, you're not going to stay consistent with it. So movement can be anything. It really can. And I think people really need to prioritize finding something they enjoy.
Yeah. So the why needs to change and the passion as well.
Yeah.
Like recently the Olympics was happening, right? And there's all these crazy different types of sports. And you can like feel how passionate they are to reach the level that they are in terms of competing and being the best. It's amazing. And for them to reach that level, you definitely have to be passionate. And I feel like with that passion comes enjoyment. And, you know, it's not necessarily, I feel like, a chore, but more of an action of joy or, Because I remember as a child, I used to love playing basketball. Just being alone, just shooting the ball was like, I could spend hours doing that. And I just get lost in it. And it was so much fun.
Nice.
You know, so that was like one way of also de-stressing, letting go and moving a bit as well, and just getting into that zone of, I'd say, just that freedom of no thoughts and feeling good in my body. What is the movement that brings you that type of joy or that type of passion?
I have done so much variety in terms of my fitness journey and prioritizing my health. I think if I had to answer it right now in my current status, it would be running. If you'd asked me last year, I hated running. So I also think there are seasons to what you could enjoy.
Yeah, true.
Right now. Yeah, right now, I think I'm in the season of enjoying running for a multitude of reasons. I like the repetition of the run. It helps me zone out. So as someone who is very busy throughout the day, the repetition and being able to switch off is very nice. As a mom, it's very nice to say, I'm going away for 1 hour. Don't call me. Don't text me unless something really important is happening. And it gets to be my me time now. Like I said, it's really great for the heart health. I think throughout my pregnancy, maybe I kind of neglected the cardiovascular part of my movement. So it's really nice to be incorporating that now. Yeah.
So important.
So that's my season currently. I'm in my running era for sure. But I've enjoyed so many different things. I've enjoyed Pilates. I've enjoyed strength training. I've done powerlifting a little bit. I've done it all. I've done so many things. I'm not really good at team sports. Just throwing that out there. So I'm not very coordinated for paddle or football or things like that.
When was that point where you realized your body was a tablet?
Very recently. Very recently. I would say post-COVID, maybe. In the grand scheme of things, that's quite recent. I know that was 4 years ago, but I grew up overweight my entire life. Always struggled with my weight. Always heard people commenting on my weight. I've gained it. I've lost it. I've gained it. I've lost it. And it never stuck. I think the turning point for me was probably my battle with fertility. Because they didn't really give me a diagnosis of why I was struggling with fertility or why I wasn't conceiving. And it really makes you look inwards. What's going on with me? You know, if everything looks to be functioning correctly, why is this not happening for me? And I had an amazing doctor. I love it when doctors are not just about the medical stuff, but also look at a holistic picture. And he told me we could do an IVF cycle now, but I highly recommend that you lose some weight first. And he didn't give me a number. He didn't say it in a patronizing way or anything. He just stated the facts, like your weight is correlated to your fertility. And that's probably why it hasn't happened yet, seeing as we can't spot anything else other than maybe some PCOS, but that's not really a trigger. That was probably the turning point of saying, hey, my body is a temple. I was created to procreate. I'm here to be a mom. It felt very strong to me, that feeling, that pull. And that's when the shift happened of, I don't want to look a certain way. I want to get in the best shape of my life, the best function of my life to be able to carry life. So that was the shift.
Wow. Thank you for sharing. That's a powerful why.
Yeah, that's, definitely is.
That's not even almost, it's primal and like primordial and so powerful. So I feel like your motivation and your inspiration to, wow, just, yeah, really treat your body as a temple must have been, yeah, insane.
Yeah, it was a big one.
And alhamdulillah, it paid off.
It did, you know, yeah.
It paid off.
I have my sweet baby girl. She's everything. She has now become my why. Maybe not her per se, but my family unit.
As in to create memories in the future, to see her kids and create memories with her kids, inshallah, one day.
Inshallah.
So what would you say to people who are struggling with weight gain or struggling with infertility? What would you say to them?
I would say lean on modern science, because modern science and healthcare is here to help, but also challenge them to introspect. Is that the word? To look internally?
Yeah.
Introspective. Yes. I don't, that's the word I'm looking for. But to look internally and really think about how they are choosing to live their day-to-day life. Every opportunity, every minute, we have a choice to make. It can be as simple as, should I take a glass of water or have a third cup of coffee? Should I go to bed or should I scroll on my phone for another 2 hours? All of these little things that we don't really think about have such a big impact in the grand scheme of your health and your functioning. That's what I would say to someone struggling with infertility, you don't have to do it alone. Go for the modern science. It's there. Go see a doctor. But also think about all the little things that you do and all these little choices that have a big impact on your health.
You were saying choices, and recently I heard Simple Saying saying better choices make a better life. Mm. And, you know, the book Atomic Habits came out as well recently. And it's basically everything is just your habits. Your life is basically your habits. So you pointed out a couple, such as choosing to sleep and staying hydrated instead. So that's the key, is knowing your habits and making those changes. Why do those changes feel so hard sometimes?
Because they are hard. They are hard. I'm not saying anything's easy, and I'm not saying I'm perfect. I'm not saying I'm perfect either. There's still a lot of things that I'm very conscious about, but I'm just maybe not in a mental state to give them up right now. We just spoke about it before we hit record. The coffee, it's right here because of the brain fog and the lack of sleep. I'm not ready to give it up just yet. I would hope to one day maybe be able to say, you know, I'm down to one coffee when I would like, you know, like an enjoyable social kind of thing.
Why are those choices so difficult in the beginning? For example, choosing to scroll on your phone rather than go to sleep. Why isn't the going to sleep, you know? So, because that's better for you.
Yeah,
that's more wholesome for you, and you get your rest in or your sleep in. Why isn't that easy?
When you think about human nature, we like instant gratification, right? So if I'm going to make a choice now, I want to feel nice about it now.
That's
very hard to not think about the instant gratification and think about the long term. That's probably why it's so hard.
That's where patience and delayed gratification really come into play. If you focus on the delayed gratification in terms of be patient and work on those habits, theoretically, your body will just feel good anyways, that you won't necessarily need the so-and-so instant gratification because your habits are just solid. Of course, no one is perfect and we all have our days, but it's working on those habits and being aware of them to begin with. Because I feel like a lot of habits, as you said, you have to introspect and look within to realize, oh, okay, this is a habit that needs to be changed, you know, but the awareness needs to be seen first, you know, of, okay, this is a habit that needs to, you know, because you said these choices, like a lot of people don't know that they have that choice.
Yes.
You know, they're just like, okay, yeah, I am going to scroll on my phone, or I am going to drink that coffee, you know, without thinking twice. Awareness is important. That's the perfect segue to the next part, which is talking about the mind and how the mind is also a temple.
It is.
What is the mind to you? What comes to mind when you think of mind?
I see what you did there. Gosh, what comes to the mind? Obviously, first word to come to my mind is the brain and all the functionings that are happening up there. Because at the end of the day, it's all just a bunch of chemical reactions, right, in the mind. But and then you could think about the mind. I'm going to stick with that definition. I'm not going to go any more than that, I think.
It goes very philosophical.
Yes, exactly. I didn't want to go that far. But a bunch of chemical reactions happening up there that have a big impact in all of your decisions. Everything you do starts with the mind.
Obviously, they're symbiotic, right? In terms of you need both of them to work coherently or work together to be the best version of yourself. Would you say that's true?
I want to say that ideally they should be working in unison. But at the end of the day, we see so many people with mental, I don't know if that's the appropriate word, but mental disabilities or even physical disabilities that are still thriving human beings. That's why I'm kind of hesitating to say they're both important equally, because you could have someone who, I'm diagnosed bipolar. People could say that that's a mental illness.
What is that for someone who doesn't know?
They say it's a chemical imbalance in the brain. It's genetic most of the time. So it runs within families, and it's basically cycling between depression and mania.
What's mania?
So mania is extreme high mood, extreme functioning. Mania can look like someone thinking they are a superhuman, actually thinking they are a superhuman. And it can be very destructive sometimes. You could lose sleep. You could really think you could fly to the point where you actually try and jump and fly and hurt yourself. Mm. So obviously two extremes of mood. It's a mood disorder. I am medicated and stable. People could say that that's a mental illness. I still think I'm a thriving human being. So,
Charlotte, first of all, thank you for sharing. And I feel like to be able to share that is amazing as well. Just seeing who you are, you know, it's amazing. Like, mashallah. Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah. So I think we've all got little things. It could be a physical thing. It could be, you know, I've got back pain. I've got knee pain. It could be a physical thing, or it could be a mental thing. I still think you could be thriving, even if one is maybe not as functional.
I agree. All the greats in the world, in terms of that have done great things and have changed the world, have all had some sort of, there's a difference in them. For example, Elon Musk, obviously.
He's on the spectrum, is he?
I think so.
He is, right?
Yeah, I think so. I think so. And he's changed the world. That's not been a limitation for him. If anything, it's probably been pushing him to be who he is, which is a world changer, you know, a disruptor to the status quo. I kind of see where you're coming from in terms of it's not one or the other, and it's not about being perfect and both being coherent and perfect. Actually, the world is very imperfect in the sense that we all kind of have our own things that we're dealing with, which makes us who we are. I don't believe in perfect either. So it's not necessarily accept, but how do we allow ourselves to be that full version of ourselves?
Mm.
So how do you allow yourself, like in terms of like the mind aspect, what are things, what are pillars that you have stuck with that have made you be who you are?
Gosh, you and your very deep, profound questions. That is a very good question. For my mind, I'm a person who has lots of racing thoughts. I think it is part of my bipolar and having such an active mind, always thinking about the next thing and always racing, basically. It's not a physical race, it's a mental race in my head all the time. And I think a lot of people can relate, working on so many different things, thinking about the now, thinking about the future. And I think voicing everything helps tremendously. Getting out of your head, getting out of your mind, and putting it out there.
Own conversation.
Right?
Yeah, getting out of your head.
Get out of your own head. Yeah, because that internal monologue, I feel instant relief when it's no longer a monologue in my head and more of a dialogue. And that could be a dialogue with another person, someone you really trust. A lot of the times, your significant other, if you're married, or, you know, a parent, someone you really care about. And turning it into a dialogue. If you don't have that person, you could journal, let it out. Some people let it out with expression and creativity, you know, writing, drawing, all these things. But I really think that for me, turning the monologue, the internal monologue, into a dialogue helps tremendously.
I like that. Because that inner monologue can be either inner cheerleader or inner critic.
So, let's be real. Yeah. Most of the time, it's inner critic.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Which it is. So that's, I like that inner monologue to dialogue. I feel like that's practical and pragmatic and can be used. What other pillars do you feel help you in terms of dealing with the mind and allowing your mind to be at its happiest, at its most functioning self?
I think it's going to look different for everybody. For me, I thrive off of learning everything there is to know about my field of work, obviously, because that's what I'm passionate about. So I stay in that little realm of learning. I think we go to school and then we go to college and then you work and then all of a sudden it becomes monotone. You don't really challenge your mind to learn something new. And that could be learning something physical, like building a puzzle or something like that, or really delving into research and learning what's new in your field of work. Whatever it is, you could challenge your mind in a lot of ways. I feel like I heard on a podcast or something that when you are in that state of learning something new, you're building these new connections in your brain. And I thought that was so fascinating. I was like, yeah, I want to do that. I don't want to ever feel like my mind is failing me. And you can see that with maybe, you know, like approaching a certain age and Alzheimer's, a little forgetful, whatever it may be. So,
but I feel like that's equivalent to like movement in your brain, which is the learning aspect or the crossword puzzles or the Sudoku or you know what I mean? In terms of moving your brain and making it, I'm intentionally using the word moving by the way, but making it, pushing it, pushing it.
Stimulating.
Yeah, stimulating and pushing it to be sharp. That's a key point actually, is movement.
I think you're onto something here.
Yeah, I feel like
using the word movement, you could also use the word stimulating for stimulating muscles and stimulating your heart and stimulating your mind. A lot of these words that we use to describe one or the other could be used for both.
Yeah, you could take the whole layout of, we talked about nourishment in terms of body, from nourishment to movement to rest, and you can probably implement all of those into the mind in its own way. So movement would be learning or stimulating your mind. And then nourishment, what would you say nourishing your mind means?
I would probably think of it in terms of things that bring you joy. For a lot of people, that is relationships, that social human connection with others. That's nourishment for the mind.
Have you watched The Blue Zones on Netflix?
Only like half an episode, and then I obviously got distracted being a mom.
Anyways, they were saying that relationships, basically Blue Zone, whoever's listening, is a place where people live up to the age of 100 plus, and relationships is one of the biggest things for people to have in terms of having a long, healthy life. So can you talk more about relationships and why you feel that's important for you?
Yeah, it kind of turns into the human experience. I can't imagine how isolating it must be to maybe live in a new place or move somewhere and have absolutely no one you can speak to. I spoke to a friend of mine recently, and she told me that she spent an entire week without any social interaction other than her barista. So she works from home. She's just on her laptop. She didn't have any like big client calls, client meetings where she had to be speaking to anyone. She lives in a place far away from her family. She hops on a bus, goes to the neighborhood like cafe, orders a coffee. And that was her only human interaction for almost a week, a couple of days. It just made my heart hurt for her. You know, we thrive. How do you feel when you're just walking down the mall, the street, whatever it is, and someone smiles at you, you know, or someone just says hi instead of just walking past you without saying anything?
Yeah.
Or like sometimes on my runs, I'll be running and I'm huffing and puffing, you know, with my headphones in, but someone will be running towards me and we cross paths, and we can either choose to ignore each other or we can choose to do a little nod or a little hi or whatever it is. And I feel like we thrive or we crave any sort of human connection. And it can be superficial like that, the day-to-day stuff, the mundane, or it could be the deep, meaningful things like finding a significant other that you can trust and be fully present with, or having a support system in a family or friends. It just makes living the hard life a little bit easier.
It's honoring every interaction as much as you can. That one smile, that one hello goes a long way.
It's
people just wanting to be acknowledged. That's what I think it comes down to. There's this thing I heard recently where everyone has a sign on top of their head, which says, make me feel important. People just want to be seen. People just want to be heard. People just want to be, you know, acknowledged. Yes. And it's that simple. There's a sense of belonging in that. So we briefly talked about rest for the mind, which is being still. What does that look like for
you? Oh, you did say you wanted to come back to this one. Do you remember just a few minutes ago I said my mind is always racing?
Yeah. So I'm circling back. And what do you do how do you try to?
I do nothing. I really, this is one of those things that I really struggle with. I'm not perfect. This is the thing that I cannot seem to tackle. I don't even know where to begin with it. I feel like it became worse after I chose the route of entrepreneurship, because now I'm an entrepreneur. I do so many things kind of by myself, isolated and having to push myself. Also very difficult to do as a mom. Moms have constant to-do lists going on in their brain. Constant. Did I pack May's water bottle for her nursery? Oh my gosh, I have to set a reminder to, I don't know, book her dentist appointment. Yes, by the way, I am going to take her to a dentist, even though she only has like 8 teeth. judge me all you want. All these ongoing things, you know, did we pay this bill or whatever it is?
Yeah.
I do not know how to be still in my mind. And it's one of those things where the running, the physical helps me be still in my mind for that short amount of time. But I really struggle with just being able to switch off.
It's definitely a muscle.
An overactive muscle, yeah. which we do not like in terms of fitness. We do not like an overactive muscle. Yeah.
In one way, it's, you know, like Elon Musk, right? It's so useful to have a brain that has a stream of thoughts, right? Because they say like coders, for example, have streams of thoughts as well, because it allows them to obviously write code better and quicker. And Elon Musk, he needs all these ideas coming to him at a certain speed to create the change that he is. So going back to, it's how do we use that, those stream of thoughts, you know, because to be an entrepreneur, you need those thoughts as well at some point, right? Is the details, the questions and the things that come up. There's also the balance of, okay, now you're at home now and you're with your family and you want to, you're with your husband, you're with your daughter and you just want to ground. So there's this balance of wanting the stream of thoughts, but also switching it off. That's the million-dollar question.
I struggle with switching it off. I think the only time I can actually switch it off is I kind of create blocks of time in my calendar, like in my day. And I have these blocks of time and I consciously try to say, okay, from this time to this time, I'm only going to work on X. And even if it doesn't get done or doesn't get finished, completed, whatever, ticked off the to-do list, I am still going to move on into the next block of my day and only focus on this. And usually it turns into, you know, block of work in the morning and then block of mom in the evening. And really, you know, like don't touch my phone, don't answer any calls, don't answer texts, and just really try to be present with my family.
That's a really good strategy. You designate that time and you're kind of forced to, at least mentally forced to.
Yes, you know. But it's hard. It's hard when you are one of those people who really likes getting stuff done. And it always feels like you're in this loop of things are not getting done. Yeah. But I'm trying to learn to accept that in this early stage of motherhood and the season of life, things that could probably take 2 hours sometimes have to take 2 days. It's okay.
That level of acceptance is so important. And that definitely comes with experience and being, as you said, like a mother and changing priorities, because it is really, it comes down to changing priorities, right? Because your child changes everything.
Everything.
Everything. Yes. From your why to the everyday things. What would you say to baby May in 10 years or in 20 years regarding treating her body and her mind as a temple? If she was listening to this, what would you say to her?
I would tell her to chase happiness, because chasing the happiness is going to make everything else fall into place. And chasing the happiness in terms of movement, you know, could probably, if she's 10 years old, it'll be the going to the park, getting outside, let's go to the beach. That's chasing happiness at the end of the day for her, because that's like a happy place, a happy thing to do. And chasing happiness in terms of mind stimulation, let's say she was 10, it would be things like, what are you thriving at in school? What are you enjoying? Let's push you in that direction. And it doesn't have to be this academic thing either. It could be anything. Chasing the happiness and other things will fall into place.
Why happiness?
We all want to be happy. We all want to be happy. And I think we...
What is happiness?
Oh, Lord, with these profound questions. Being content. Think about it that way. Like if everyone could do what they want to do and thrive in it and be good at it. And that's kind of where happiness comes in.
I like contentment. It's more real.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Instead of, you know, we're not always happy. Yeah. Fair enough. Yeah. Fair enough. Yeah. Content. Yeah. Like at the end of the day, when you go to bed, you want to feel like, yeah, I had a decent day. I had a good day. I got to do something with someone I love, or I got to finish off something that I was really working hard on. And I'm content. That's a good one.
Are you content right now?
I am. Very, very, very content with my life right now.
What is it about your life that makes you content?
I love the life I've curated for myself because I've removed myself from situations where I wasn't happy or I was being spread too thin or I wasn't in an area where I found joy or felt like I was contributing. The entrepreneurship route, I decide which direction I'm going. I decide the pace it's going at. And gosh, being a mom is just amazing. I absolutely love being in my family unit. I love. Yeah. and I love my little daughter. And I love the little life we're curating together. You know, the decisions we're making, the where are we going to live? What are we going to do? Where are we going to put her in school? All of these little things just make me so content. Not to say that it's not hard.
Yeah.
You know, like life has its challenges.
Yeah.
Everything is a challenge, it seems. But I'm so content. Appreciating the little things. 4 years ago, 5 years ago, I was battling infertility. Now I'm sitting here thinking about what nursery to take my daughter to. You know, it's in the grand scheme of things, my gosh, like this is the life we've curated and get to live now.
That's amazing. So you're saying 4 years ago. So where do you see yourself 4 years from now? What would your dream life look like?
My husband always jokes about this. He's like, you're going to be doing something completely different because you like shift directions so much.
That's the beauty of life.
It is,
you just
right?
Never know.
It's just,
you
never know. He's like, you might end up going and doing another bachelor's degree in something completely different. We don't know what you're going to do. So you're giving me a timeline in 4 years. Where do I see myself?
Or where would you like to see yourself?
I would like to see a little bit better work-life balance for myself.
What does that mean?
I work very, very hard. And I sometimes fall victim of spreading myself too thin and doing too much. But I do think the 30s, you know, your 30s, I'm 30 now. I do think it's kind of that time where you do have a lot going on and you do have to kind of hustle a little bit. It's just to help with financials and to help with all sorts of things. But I would love a bit more work-life balance. I would love, you know, hopefully, inshallah, more kids as well. So even with that, it turns into a balancing act. I'm putting in a lot of work now to try and lay down some foundations of ease in a few years.
Whilst I feel like incorporating that balance of, you know, what you're saying about your grandparents, you were saying they were hustlers and you've obviously taken a bit of that.
Of course.
Not a bit, but you've taken that hustle attribute from them whilst also seeing the why of living a healthier or more wholesome lifestyle in terms of taking care of your body and your mind to be there for May's children one day.
Yeah, I like how you wrapped it up there.
Alhamdulillah. And I hope you continue, you know, experiencing that in terms of the contentment and achieving all the goals and dreams that you do want, especially with a work-life balance and inshallah.
Thank you.
More happiness and contentment.
And contentment.
Yeah, contentment to come.
I like that.
Time to wrap up. Your final three questions.
Oh gosh. You warned me about these. I don't even know what to expect. Okay.
Even better.
Shoot.
So your first question is, what are you most grateful for right now?
A tough one between wanting to say my husband and wanting to say my daughter.
Both.
Yes. I don't want to just lump them together because they're both so, so important to me. And I'm so grateful for both of them.
Why each of them?
Because one came from the other. May is personification of mine and his love. That's why I'm so grateful for her. And for my husband, I'm just so grateful for him for sticking it out. Just being, it sounds so cliche, but for like being my rock. He is our family unit. He is the glue. He is the tree of life. He is everything personified. And he's really carrying us in this season of life. So I'm very grateful for him.
That's a real one. Alhamdulillah.
Yeah.
And for your second question, what is your current superpower?
Multitasker. This is my current superpower.
What does that mean exactly?
I wear so many hats. I really do. And I want to say that I'm doing good in all of them. I want to tell the inner critic, you know, we were talking about the inner critic. I want to tell her to shut up because I am doing as good as I can with the tools that I have to try and wear all these hats. It's being a mom. I'm trying my very, very best. Being a personal trainer, I try and give my whole to my clients. I really do. With everything that I've got on my plate, I still try to show up for each and every one of them. So all these little different hats that I wear, I am the multitasking queen.
Mashallah, I feel like you really are passionate, and I feel like you bring a lot of heart to, based on meeting you, just I feel that, and I can imagine you being that for your family and your clients and so on and so forth. So
I try.
Yeah. Thank you for trying and being that. And for your final question, what is one piece of advice or one ember of wisdom that the audience can take regarding that their body is a temple?
A piece of advice. We touched on it earlier. Everything is a choice. Every moment of your day has a choice that you can make. And I'm not saying that you have to make the right choice every single time. But in the long run, the little shifts in the choices that you make can have a very, very big impact on your temple.
Love that. Love that. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me. This was such a fun chat.
Yeah, it was a pleasure. So where can people reach you?
People can find me on Instagram. I'm only on Instagram. I'm not on any of the other social media channels. I can't do it. So they can find me at raunak.rises. That's RAWNAQ.rises, like rising from the flames. Yep, that's where they can find me.
Thank you, honestly, for your energy and your time. I really appreciate you sharing just your wisdom. It's very insightful and very wholesome.
Thank you. And you're very, very easy to talk to. So
thank you. I appreciate that.
And I appreciate your time.
Thank you. Thank you. So may this episode enhance your daily quality of life. May it empower you and enlighten you. Hope you have a day filled with contentment. Thank you.